Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down. We're asking questions. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world? Now, today, we have a bit of a problem, a bit of a sticky wicket. Our gospel today is one of the longest gospels of the year. As a result, it's too long to read. We're going to have to read the shorter version, but we're going to fill in the gaps with the longer version during the show. I would recommend that you go to the Gospel of John, 9th chapter, and read the first 41 verses. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with his saliva, and smeared the clay on his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said, "He put clay on my eyes and I washed and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened up your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." And they answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you're trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that he had been thrown out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, what a gospel it is. Like I said, that was the shorter version. There's a whole lot. This is a very deep pool, calling the kids. It's going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Today we are in the 9th chapter of my favorite gospel, the Gospel of John. We are considering the healing of the man born blind. And it's a long gospel. In fact, outside of the Passion itself, it could be the longest gospel we read all year. And while it is obviously about physical sight and physical blindness, there's a whole lot more going on. It's about light versus darkness. It's about life versus death. It is about spiritual sight versus spiritual blindness. It is about the most important of things. My friends, we need to get this one right. Like I said, we're in the Gospel of John, and John begins his opus discussing light versus darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came through him, and without him, nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life. And now watch this. And this life was the light of the human race. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I mean, is that, and that is so beautiful. This is where John begins. We're either walking in the light or we're walking in darkness. You're either blind or you can see. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So with that said, let's consider our gospel today. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, that might seem like an odd question, but given the fact that their theology of the day was that they believed that any kind of physical abnormality, any kind of disability, any kind of bad fortune, it was all caused by sin. This was their theology, and it was informed by their scriptures, Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. God promises to punish his children for the iniquity of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So to them, it was very natural that a birth defect would be the result of the parents' or the grandparents' sin. But there was, of course, confusion, because the prophet Ezekiel says very clearly in the 18th chapter, a child shall not suffer the iniquity of the parents, nor the parents for the iniquity of the child. Thus the righteousness of the righteous shall be his own, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be his own. So like I said, there's a bit of confusion, but that continues today. This whole idea of karma, good things happening to good people, bad things happening to bad people. And when hell comes to a visit occasionally, we look up and say, well, I must have done something wrong to bring this on to myself. But look at what Jesus says. Jesus answered, neither he nor his parents have sinned. It is so that the works of God may be made visible through him. Which is curious. Is Jesus suggesting that this blind man was born this way for this moment, that Jesus could walk by and perform this miracle? I don't think so. But before we go on, let's consider blindness in general. Let's begin by simply noting that since the fall of the garden, humanity has been afflicted with a universal natural blindness. This is our fallen nature, our sin nature, concupiscence. Okay, now this natural blindness, which we all have, is complicated by the prince of this world and what I call satanic blindness. Now, when natural blindness pairs up with satanic blindness long enough, causing us to ignore the quiet voice of the Spirit, eventually we succumb to a third kind of blindness, namely divine blindness. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get back to Jesus. What does he say? We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And he goes on to say, while I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. So once again, who's the light? Jesus is the light. And his light shines through the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What does that really mean? What it means is if you allow the Spirit of Christ to dwell in you, you become a light to this world. But getting back to the man born blind, his whole life, he has been judged as an unclean sinner. His parents have been judged. They must have secrets. This man has been shunned by the community. He has been reduced to a life of begging. Now all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and says, no, this man has done nothing wrong to cause this blindness, which that would probably be a great relief. But then the next thing you know, something very strange happens. Jesus approaches him, creates clay with his spittle and rubs mud on his eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Wow. Can you imagine? And first of all, why the pool of Siloam? I mean, that's just outside the temple, and that's where they would wash the sheep before they sacrifice them. But it doesn't have healing properties. I mean, that would be the pool of Bethsaida, you know, where the angel stirs the water. And if you get in the water, you know, first, you get the healing properties. Washing in the pool of Siloam, that doesn't make any sense, but he does it. And now he now sees. Which, there's a whole homily right there. He just does what he's told, and now he sees. Which must have been amazing. I would have loved to have been there. Now, over the years, theologians have wondered, why would Jesus make mud, clay, rub it on his eyes? Like he's never done anything quite like this. It seems to harken back to Genesis, remember, man, you are dust, and to dust you will return, which is what the priest says when he puts ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday. Remember, John started this gospel by saying that Jesus creates all things because he was with God and he is God, right? So he creates, and we see this creation on full display right here because Jesus does not heal this man's eyes. He creates eyes. In 1995, a man named Dr. Oliver Sacks wrote a book called An Anthropologist on Mars. And in this book, he talks about a man named Virgil who had been blind since he was a really young child. And at 50, he underwent this radical surgery that gave him his sight. But the doctor found out that having the physical capacity for sight and seeing are not necessarily the same thing. Because Virgil was able to make colors and movements, you know, he couldn't arrange them into a coherent picture, because the optic nerves must learn over a lifetime how to interpret what one is seeing. And even though he could physically see, he maintained the characteristics of a blind man. In the same way, we must die to self before we can learn how to see. Now, this guy right here that's being healed by Jesus, he can see everything clearly. I can just see him leaping around, dance, looking at the sky, looking at the ground, looking at people's faces for the first time, and the joy. But alas, it wouldn't last. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, isn't this the one that used to sit around and beg? And some said, it is. But others said, no, it just looks like him. And I just got to say, you know, sometimes scriptures are just funny. Really? Somehow it's easier to believe that this man had a twin that looked just like him rather than to believe that he actually was healed. I mean, it is simply astonishing the lengths that we will go to deny what we do not understand. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk all about this gospel and how we can apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Not just for the break, we were talking all about this man. He was born blind, and now he can see. But there seems to be some confusion as to who he is. And he says, I am. Now, of course, we've talked about this before, but I am, that's a big deal in the Gospel of John. He has the seven I am statements. I am harkens back to the burning bush. It is a testimony to the divinity of Jesus. So they ask him, well, how is it that you now see? And he replied, a man called Jesus put clay on my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I did, and now I can see. And so they asked, well, where is he? And he responded, I don't know. Now, before we get to the religious leadership, of which we will, and how they react, keep in mind that the Pharisees who are running the temple, they are all about the law. And Jesus had broken three laws with his miracle. Number one, he had healed on a Sabbath, which is a no-no. Number two, he had made clay with a spittle, which is considered a work, which is a no-no. Number three, he commanded the blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which scripture scholars will estimate was 2,200 cubits from where they were, which is further than you're allowed to walk on a Sabbath. So three strikes, you're out. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You're looking at the greatest miracle anybody's ever seen, and they're trying to find a fly in the ointment. Why? I'll tell you why. Satanic blindness. But let's move on. They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened up his eyes on the Sabbath. So when the Pharisees asked him how he was able to see, he told them, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and now I see. But some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. While others said, well, how can a sinful man do such signs? And there was division among them. And my friends, that division continues to this day. So they asked the man that was blind, what do you have to say about him? I mean, since you open up your eyes. And he said, he's a prophet. Now, do you notice the progression here? When he was first asked that question by his neighbors, how his eyes were opened, he said, a man called Jesus healed me. Now, as he's standing in front of the Pharisees, he says, he's a prophet. Now, of course, they don't believe him. They think he's lying. They think this is all some kind of ruse. So they summon the man's parents. And you know what? This is just sad. This is sad. They ask, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How is it that he now sees? Can you imagine? These poor parents have just experienced what could only be described as the most joyful moment of their entire life. Their son, who has spent a lifetime in shame, and I imagine they were kind of secretly blaming themselves, now all of a sudden he sees, and now they're getting called on the carpet to be cross-examined. And they know they're in dangerous territory. It had already been decreed that anyone who believed and followed this man Jesus would be kicked out of the synagogue, excommunicated, which might not seem like a big deal these days, but in the ancient world, oh yeah, big deal. Because the temple was the center of all cultural life, and now it's in jeopardy. So they're scared. Look at what they say. Yes, this is our son, who we know was born blind. We do not know how he now sees. Ask him. He is of age. They don't stand with him. Like I said, this is so sad. He's been judged his whole life. He's been living on the margins. He's left as a beggar. And now his own parents abandon him again. So the Pharisees call back the guy again. And here's where we see spiritual blindness on full display. They say, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. In other words, it's God who healed you, not this imposter. And then I love what the man says. I mean, because clearly he's not a theologian, but he's very logical. He says, if he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see. And so they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open up your eyes? Now, he's already told them this, but they didn't hear it. Why? Well, it gets back to spiritual blindness. Because when you're spiritually blind, you hear nothing. And I love this. Because the man says, I told you already. You don't want to listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I can't help but think that he's having a little fun about it now. I mean, think about it. His whole life, he's been looked down upon by these guys. And of course, now everything's turned. And he tells them that, and it makes them very angry. We know that God spoke to Moses. We do not know where this man is from. To which the blind man, well, he's not blind now, but he was, responds with logic. This is what's so amazing, that you don't know where he's from. Yet he opened up my eyes. Fact number one, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. Number two, it is unheard of that anybody ever opened up the eyes of a person born blind. And number three, if this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. What can we learn from this man? Look at what he is doing. He is giving his testimony. He's not saying, you got to believe this or that. He is standing on the facts. And those who have ears to hear the facts. But those who are living in spiritual blindness hear nothing. This is what Jesus has done for me. Possibly he could do the same for you. Look at how they respond. You are born totally in sin, and you're trying to teach us. He's not trying to teach nothing. He's just standing on the facts. He's just testifying as to what has happened. Yet they're so spiritually blind, they reject the truth. And they throw the truth out. They excommunicate the truth. Spiritual blindness on full display. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found the man. Now notice, the man didn't go find Jesus, but Jesus found him, just as he will find you today. So Jesus heard they had been thrown out. He goes and finds him, and he asks him a question. He says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, well, who is he, sir, so that I might believe in him? And Jesus said, you have seen him, and he is the one who is speaking to you. And he said, yeah, I believe, I do, and worship him. Wow, what a story. What a story. What can we learn from this gospel? How can we apply this into our daily living? Well, let's bust it down. Three things. Number one, if we seek Jesus, he will come looking for us. That's number one. Number two, it is Jesus who will give you your spiritual sight. That's number two. Number three, but before that happens, you must come to understand that you are in fact blind, and that is what this gospel is all about. I came into this world for judgment. For those who do not see might see, and those who think they can see will become blind. The Pharisees today reveal to us one of the great dangers of Christianity, which is religious formalism. Now, don't get me wrong. Going to church every week, that's a good thing. Hearing about Jesus, feeding yourself spiritually, this is a good and righteous thing to do. This is a noble thing to do. I'm a fan of this idea. Okay, but if we do not allow the light of Christ to dwell within us during the week, then we, like the Pharisees, remain blind, thinking we can see. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? What did Jesus say? You have seen him, and the one speaking to you is he. In other words, face to face, a personal encounter. My friends, seek your Lord today, and He will open up your eyes and reveal Himself to you. Remember how I had mentioned that we are all born with natural blindness? It's our fallen nature. And that we are subject to satanic blindness of our world, which, as you might imagine, comes from the prince of the world. But then there's a third blindness, a divine blindness, which is why Scripture says, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. My friends, a quiet voice is whispering God's will in your ear every day. And you might put it off today, or maybe this week, or this month, or this year. But understand this, the longer you put off the quiet voice, the quieter it will become. Until one day, you will not hear it. And at that point, you are spiritually flatlining, and that is divine blindness. Do you hear that voice today? Understand that this could be the last day. What to do? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And in my foolish arrogance, I am blind. Open my eyes so that I can see you. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.